quorum.
Okay, so the time is, somebody help me?
It is 6:04.
6:04 on October 12, 2022. I'd like to call this meeting of the Charter Review Commission to order. Would the secretary please call the roll?
Yes. Chair Schofield?
Present.
Chair Jan Budding?
Present.
Commissioner Dean Disher?
Here.
Commissioner Hopita?
Here.
And for the record, we have Rachel Hernandez who is out. At this time, Michael Nzunza and Todd Glenn.
Okay, but we do have a quorum.
Yes.
So I'm going to, public comments is the section on the agenda for members of the public to address the board on items that are not listed in the agenda. There's nobody here. Were there any emails sent in?
There was no email, no public comments on our system.
Okay. So the next item is 4.1, but because Ann is here, I think we'll even skip the minutes and go directly to 4.3 if there's no objection.
We'll reschedule review of the minutes. Don't let anybody get the wrong idea.
Right. Because we have such a heavy schedule here.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. We'll face that.
But you're welcome to stay to hear what we have to say. The minutes.
No, and I have stayed before, but I do have to pick my daughter up tonight.
No,
that's
fine.
She was asked to join.
So,
I said, yeah, but, you know.
Item 4.3 is to discuss and consider approval of recommendations for Measure K community outreach. I think you go next, unless there's some urgent comment. Okay, so you're ready to go?
So, of course, I'm aware that we have Measure K on the ballot. And
you're Ann?
Ann Steinberger. I'm sorry. I'm Ann Steinberger, the communications manager at the city. In November, it will be 11 years. I can't believe it.
Cool.
So, and I have, as Commissioner Hopita said, I've worked with the commission before to do a survey in the lead up to what led up to Measure K, so that I know that that provided good input and still gets cited, you probably all saw that. So anyway, the team asked if I could come and talk to you about some options for public information community outreach on this. So I wanted to let you know what we've already done, because it's typically what we do, so hope you don't mind me jumping on that. So we, I have here on this little handout. Well, at the top, you can see, and you may know this, that we do have a direct URL to the Measure K webpage at chulavistaca.gov/charter. And then the next one is our social media handle, Think Chula Vista, and we're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So we will be posting there. I already did a Twitter post today. But you can see under our new, the top left is our city website. And in the news section, we have Measure K on November ballot. So that's just the general information that this was placed on the ballot, similar to the neutral information that was in the staff report. And then it sends them to the web page to get more information. They can request, as you may know, they can request a copy of the entire ballot measure. Then, and the Measure K web page is right below that. And it says Measure K charter amendments, so that's all the information is there. And then top right is the Twitter post that I've done. And we get all of our social media posts translated into Spanish, but I wanted this posted so it was out there and so that you could see it. And then I will update Twitter with a Spanish post and then also follow up with Facebook and Instagram tomorrow. And we'll post it once a week or so, once or twice a week leading up to the election. In addition, as we get closer to the election, we collaborate with the city clerk to remind people that the election is coming up, November 8th. You can now vote on election day and just provide information about the locations. You know, you don't get your own place to go. You can go to any of the voting centers. I've actually worked at them before. It's really interesting, the new voting center concept. It's just they need Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 6 days.
Wow.
So I wasn't able to do that commitment this year. But
my wife is doing it.
Yeah, it's a long commitment. When I retire, I'll do it more. And then also, interestingly, you know, I'm on various news websites. So KPBS has posted on their news website that the San Diego County measures, and you can go in and they have all of the letters, and you can click on K and get the Chula Vista one. So it's the, you know, of course, voting and the election is top of mind in many places, and we'll take advantage of that to build awareness and provide information on Measure K, because of course we don't advocate either way. In fact, I even thought about that with the photo I chose, because we have various photos in our photo library. I was going to put a ballot box, but I thought, well, I don't want people to think I'm saying
vote for,
yeah, right. Advocating for, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So I just put City Hall. So, you know, okay. We're being intentional about how we provide information on it. So I'm happy to answer any questions or take any other feedback. Yeah, yes, fellow communications person.
I have a question. How long has, like when was this posted up, like in social media and all that?
5 p.m. today.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I was going to ask you about the analytics. Like, are people actually going to Measure K? Like, I'm actually interested in if there's any buzz around, you know, Chula Vista as far as this, but I guess it's too early.
Yeah, I'll start tracking. I can send you all. I can ask.
Okay, yeah.
Doris send it.
Like 1,000 people have visited Measure K's page or something. That'd be great. I mean, like, because
that would be awesome. I will let you know. I'll call you if that happens.
Yeah, you drill down and discover Jim Schofield 1,000 times.
Exactly. So these are the traditional ways. You know, we do outreach and communication. We did that during when we had Measure P, which came in 2016, and Measure A in 2018, just providing information, but which is, you know, of course, we're allowed to do.
So originally when we discussed, you know, the desire to really convey to the public what's going on with the charter review edit and how significant we all think it is, because we're the commission, so it's very near and dear to our hearts, and I don't know, anecdotally, I just get this feeling like there's not a lot of public engagement, and I applaud the efforts of kind of a full court press. We created an ad hoc where, you know, three of us said we could be available if we were going to do meet, greet, and members of the commission would be available to the public. But I think Megan sent out a note saying that there wasn't a whole lot of interest expressed in holding those at town hall, group meeting,
right,
whatever they would be labeled. What do you is that true from your perspective, that there hasn't been a, yeah, okay.
You know, those kinds of things aren't very good. You know, the thing is that I know we don't have one of the lawyers here, the attorneys here tonight, but I can ask. I know you want to engage, so what my response to that would be, so if you belong to certain groups or something, to go there and say, I'm supporting Measure K and provide information on it. So because, and that's where we'll need to get Glenn and the team's input on this, but.
Yeah, I think we have to be careful about saying I'm supporting Measure K. I think it's better to phrase it that I'm on the Charter Review Commission and Measure K is on the ballot. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Okay.
Yeah, there's, you know, there's
we could put on
protocols, and I think it's easy to work those protocols.
Right.
But
yeah,
it's the approach that I'm more interested
right
in. From your experience, you know, I mean, even in my family life now, I invite people to family reunions through Facebook. Or,
right,
you know, I really, you know, utilize public media to convey what's happening, what people need to do when they need to do it, and all of that good
right
things. What do you think the most effective method, and I hear your suggestion of us volunteering, once again, we'll establish a protocol, because we can't
right
be an advocate,
right,
but we can be, I'm an advocate for the commission, and I'm an advocate for the charter, and
right
you need to get out there and look at what those edits are and make your own mind up. I'm certainly 100% behind all that. But it's just this desire to get pull the public into the dialogue, convey to them the importance of the charter and how much it impacts the public good, I think, as well as, you know, these are the edits and become aware of them. So you're not voting with minimal information,
right,
you're voting with an in-depth. And Facebook, to me, is, once again, it's a great method if we don't do, you know, town hall type meetings. I do like your idea of, you know, showing up at the Rotaries. I went to a Kiwanis fundraiser. Mm-hmm. That'd have been cool for me to have a booth.
Yeah.
Special K. I'll call
it. There you go.
Trick them into cereal and, oh, by the way. So I'm just curious, from your perspective, what do you think the most effective? Because it's not only this particular edit that we've had conversations. The public engagement is a gap that we would like to, you know, move the needle and close a little bit. For not just this board, the other boards, you know, the ethics boards interviews that I participated, there was very little public engagement. What do you think, what would be your advice to us? How do we move the needle of pulling the public into the discourse?
So I'm glad you said you're on Facebook. And the reason I did Twitter is because we get most of our engagement on Facebook and Instagram. So I thought, well, I want to get this out there, see how it looks. And then I wanted to wait for the translation to post to Facebook and Twitter. But you should be following us, and then you share it with your networks, your friends. And you say, hey, check this out on the November ballot or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. That's, I mean, so the you telling your friends, it's one thing if your friends are also following Chulavis, Think Chulavis, so that's mm-hmm. awesome. But another way to do it is reach out either through your networks, through the groups that you belong to, ask to have just a quick, you know, can I make a quick announcement kind of a thing like you hear at some of these groups, and say, I'm on the Charter Review Commission, again, whatever is authorized to say, and Measure K, and probably something like, I'm on the Charter Review Commission, Measure K is on the ballot in November 8th. We spent 2 years reviewing the charter with city officials and have made some important updates and changes to, you know, we haven't done it, it hasn't happened since 1978. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this was important. We did it. We'd appreciate you taking a look at it.
So, when it comes to Facebook, you know, I don't invite you guys. I would, but I fear rejection. And I know you guys will reject me.
No, I'm a comms person. I use everything. Yeah, sorry.
But
probably Brown Act.
Yes.
So, the Facebook page, you know, I know my one go live moment was at Fenway Park, and that's when I got the most views of all of my friends. Is there a strategy to do like a live post with, oh, hey, by the way, you know, an admin type that is, you know, connected to the page that would have the protocols? Is there something that we could do to help with things like that, or is it all just sharing?
That's an interesting idea. Live post. I mean,
you know, we don't have a town meeting, but I've got a live part of my page that captures forever my trip to Fenway, and you know.
But the city could theoretically, I mean, you know, host a live thing with a couple of board members and an attorney to answer questions. Yeah. Well, answer questions. Yeah, they type in their questions.
Yeah,
right?
Oh, like a virtual kind of deal.
Yeah, there's just this aspect of connection with, you know, I'm a little bit of a dinosaur myself, but a lot of people really connect to the live, and you know, it's just a way of capturing. And then that's on the page. You could click it and watch it again. And you could do frequently asked questions or an update. Hey, you know, we went live 3 days ago. Someone sent in a question. You could kind of snazz it up a little bit.
Right.
I don't know the right word.
Has that been attempted by the city?
So we've done some Facebook Lives. We'd have to ask Glenn, but I know with Measure A and Measure P, and I worked on both of them, we really relied on third-party groups to assist with that. Because you really, you know, so for the city to host a workshop, but if there were, you know, I mean, you see the debates and stuff out there between the candidates, those are hosted by various entities, the Union Tribune, the Chamber of Commerce, those kinds of things. So that it's one step removed. And granted, a mayoral race is different from what we're doing here.
Right.
There still are some, we just wouldn't want to, I just don't think it should be a city thing. But if you were to, and maybe it would make sense for you to do a Facebook Live in collaboration with another entity, and maybe the chamber would help you out with that. I don't know if any of you have connections to the chamber. And even if, I mean, the live is good, but even if it's just a message that you share.
Right.
You say, you know, I'm Dean Dishroon, I love this stuff, and I hope you all take a look at Measure K. It's important for Chula Vista. We've worked for 2 years on it. I'd love, please take a look.
So I think what we would consider is going through Megan, making sure that, you know, there's not some protocol that we're not thinking of,
right.
and then kind of liaising with her to make sure all of the culture of compliance aspects
right.
are gathered. And then Megan may, or Doris may, guide us into who
right.
would be the next step on the city side, just to make sure that we're kind of feathering
right.
in.
And I can definitely help you, but it's the but even to answer your question, separate from whether or not we've had successful Facebook Lives, mm-hmm. is the third party thing, I think,
right.
is important. So if
right.
you can find...
I like that idea.
You know, some...
Community-oriented groups
right.
that want
right.
people to get engaged.
The
okay.
third-party thing makes sense because I've done community events, being on the Board of Appeals and Advisors and on the Park and Rec Commission, and they are very poorly attended unless it's a really hot topic
right.
kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And amending the charter is not a hot topic.
Measure K is not a hot topic.
So
I just don't understand.
We had one situation where I think every realtor in the city of Chula Vista showed up for a Board of Appeals, and we actually had to hold it in the council chambers.
Wow.
Yeah. But other than that, community information type of events is really poorly attended. Mm-hmm. So going through third parties, I think, is better because they have you have an audience right there, a ready-made audience,
mm-hmm.
yeah. and everybody will see it.
And you know, I mean, this is just my, I mean, I've been doing this for a long time. And to me, like, one of the single most important civic engagement activities any one of us can do is vote. And they can't even get
yeah.
to vote.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
and it's a midterm, so it's going to be lower. It's gonna
yeah,
be lower.
So... So it's just, so then we're faced with, well, why isn't anybody at the Park and Rec, you know, workshop? Why isn't anybody coming to this? Why isn't anybody coming to that? People don't even vote. So
yeah.
it's on the
right.
spectrum of civic
yeah.
engagement. And but when it is, you know, a dog park or, you know,
gotcha.
Increasing parking fees or, you know, the meter fees
yeah.
and all that, that gets people out.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go to San Diego and tell them you're going to start charging for beach parking, they're going to fill the chambers. But some of these things just don't.
Well,
but
they don't personally affect you directly.
They think
yeah.
It, yeah, exactly. The WIFM. What's in it for me?
Yeah.
yeah.
So,
and I think Edgar kind of, the Charter Review Commission is just not snappy on the
right.
outside, but
yeah.
once you really dig into it, so snappy.
Change our name to the cabal.
Yeah.
The
people
yeah.
behind the curtains.
So, and thank you very much. I think you've given me some insight. I think, from my perspective, the next action would be for maybe us to do a Zoom or Teams, whatever Megan would prefer, and it's just kind of brainstorm the ad hoc of what could we do, how could we do it, and you know, I'm willing to sit down with, like I said, Rotary, Kiwanis, anybody who has that agenda of, you know, draw the public more into the discourse.
Right. I love the social media post, though. Thank you. And I'm mm-hmm. glad you used the 78, because the people are like, what? It
I know.
Updates in 78?
I know.
Like, I was only 2 years old in 78, so, yeah.
Ooh, that's when I hired into Roar at 78. So. Okay.
This is a little different, but my wife was at the library, mm-hmm. San Diego Community Power, which you may or may not be aware of, the new electric provider. They had a table in the library, and they were handing out little flyers to get people to fill out a survey.
Mm-hmm.
And they had at least 30 people stop by the table and pick up the things, and they could talk to them one-on-one. And that seemed to be... It seems to me to get 30 people is not a lot, but it's not bad.
That is good.
That's
no,
moving
yeah.
the needle.
Now, a fair number of those were people that just sort of hang out in the library every day, and they may not have... They may not be voters, right. So, you know, the effectiveness of it versus the time. And I think this is an issue that I've heard, you know, when we have a meeting where the public's invited, then some city staff have to be involved, and is it really an effective use of people's time?
Yeah, it's well, and you want it to be successful. But again, for Measure A and Measure P, we didn't have the meetings. We went to other meetings. We had a fact sheet, because a neutral, you know, just an informational fact sheet, so we could do that. You know, I'm happy to join whatever meeting you have with Megan, and because
right.
I'm happy to help with that. And we could add the fact sheet to the webpage and stuff, but then you'd have something to give people. We also could... create a QR code for the webpage too, so people could just go quite right there from any fact sheet or anything. So.
Yeah. I mean, I think our item two is, I thought we had an item to discuss the FAQs.
No, it's not on
the agenda. That was the email that Megan had sent out to the ad hoc.
So she's collected a number of things that we've contributed that would go on the webpage. Things, questions people are likely to have.
Right.
FAQ, yeah.
Yeah, she mentioned that to me.
And so, and I think I talked to Glenn briefly because he called and said he wasn't going to be here. But, you know, that could be updated relatively easily compared to doing a lot of other things.
And one other idea would be if you, someone in the community could write an op-ed. Mm. So someone who is a fan, you know, could write an op-ed that says, you know, at least, you know, look at Measure K, support Measure K, we need these updates, we haven't updated it, and, you know,
yeah. 40 plus years. Pretty Union Tribune?
Yeah, in the Star News. You can say
that. Oh, yeah, Star News. Totally forgot.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the UT, yeah, either one of those. So that, you know, gets more.
As long as our dialogue is a neutral perspective, hey, you know, look at
no, the whoever writes the op-ed.
You can find somebody who can say.
Yeah.
Right, it wouldn't be us. It would be.
I understand that, but I mean, to reach out to them, you'd have to do it. Hey, you could put that on the webpage. And oh, by the way, once you get familiar with it, if you want to make a statement for or against, you could, you know.
Okay, if I knew somebody. Is this being recorded? I would ask them.
Yes, it is.
Are you? I know. Are you interested? Would you be interested in doing writing an op-ed in support of Measure K, or in however you want? I know that there's the
opposition.
The for and against.
Right.
So, you know, somebody to say there's an important measure on the ballot. Hey, Chula Vista, please take a look. The charter hasn't been updated since 1978.
Yeah. I think that's something that Megan can guide us on, and we can put that on a little agenda.
Yeah. Those are two ideas we have.
Would we have to, for sake of fairness, would we have to also enlist someone to write something against?
No.
No.
Okay.
Op-ed is an op-ed.
Yeah.
It's not us writing it.
Right. It's asking somebody else if they're interested.
You know, I already wrote with a lot of input from others the argument in favor of
right.
it. And then there was no against or no rebuttal. And that's fine. Yeah. But anyway, I just thought it was interesting that a table seemed to gather a fair amount of response.
That's a good observation.
And I think part of the success of that, I mean, when I used to go to conferences and sit at a table, we gave away pencils.
Right.
And I had a goal. I'm going to give away 30 pencils in 30 minutes, you know, and it really made a big difference rather than sitting waiting for people to come, you know.
Right.
You should have told me about the table issue 2 weeks ago, because we had the fun run last weekend, or the champions run, and there were a lot of booths there.
Yeah. Mm,
that could have been an opportunity to spread K throughout the masses.
Right.
Well, it would have been really popular at the beer garden, because that's where I hung out after I went.
So yeah, I'm happy to engage some more and see what, again, the third party, those folks who are out there who are interested in city issues, they should be able to help.
So I'll send out a note to Megan and the ad hoc committee, and I'll copy you once Doris gives me your email address.
Oh, good.
Do you have it, or?
Yeah, I can.
Oh, sure. Oh, wait, yeah, I do. I have cards.
Well, now I feel guilty because I don't have a card.
I left my card at home.
Do we have a resolution, right?
Yes. It is on here, in here.
Do we need to vote on it?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
But we need to read it first.
There's no number on there. It's blank.
It's at the end of pages 7 and 8.
No, I'm talking about the document itself. It says resolution number...
I believe it'll be assigned by the clerk.
Oh, okay, later. Okay, I was like, resolution. Okay.
Oh, wait, this is the regular meeting.
Yeah, this is going
this
back
is not
to the
about
monthly?
The outreach.
Right.
So There's no resolution about the outreach, right?
No, the resolution's about your regular meeting.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
That would have been so important. My goodness, I had no idea.
I was like, what is this?
Wow.
So other questions? Jan?
No, I think the next action is just pull together an email, ask Megan.
We're the subcommittee on
For the ad hoc, and include Ann. You are now the honorary member of the ad hoc.
Thank you.
Then get Megan's input on, okay, this is what we talked and considered for next steps. How do we feather in the facts that you've compiled, and you know, give meaningful input to Ann and the team, as well as launch our own endeavor with third-party activity to be determined in that Zoom session or Teams, whatever Megan prefers.
Also, I think there's another action item is all of us as commissioners, if we have social media accounts, to amplify Ann's posts that she just
yes,
played.
I think Ann was very clear on that.
If we just, what do you call it,
Yeah,
share.
Amplify, share it
without comment, then you'll be in, you'll save hands.
Will there be a link to the Q's and A's on here too?
Yes, they'll go on the webpage, the Measure K webpage, and there's a link here for more information, go to the Measure K webpage. So anytime they click on that link, whatever, however it's been updated, that's what they'll see.
Okay.
Cool, thank you.
Anything else?
No, I'm good. Thank you, Ann.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay, well, thank you.
It's very nice meeting you, Ann.
Nice to meet you and see you all.
Thank you, Ann.
Thanks.
Okay, so now let's go back to the minutes.
Thank you, Doris, for compiling such a nice package again.
Yes. Okay, item 4.1, approval of September 21st special meeting minutes. Are there any questions? Do you want to have a second to look at it again?
Did you guys already excuse my absence, or did
you have to fill out a form?
I did. Did it make it to the last meeting, or? Yeah, I didn't see the...
Is it on the minutes here?
I'll get it on our next meeting.
Oh, okay. No, okay.
It wasn't
sorry
on.
About
I,
that.
For the record, I did send, I have email receipts to show that I did send an absentee thing.
And that's a good reminder. If you're absent and you want an excuse, you have to fill out paper.
Right.
Form, yeah, which I did, yeah. And so that'll be included in the next meeting, I hope, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it gets approved by the commission.
So I move we approve the minutes of the last meeting.
I second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Unanimous. Okay. Item 4.2. Action on changing the Charter Review Commission's regular meeting frequency to monthly. That's the resolution.
Right.
We have.
What was our original frequency? Was it
once a month?
Quarterly?
No,
once a month when I first joined.
Well, it depends what you mean by original. You know.
When I joined, it was once a month,
right.
Then it moved to quarterly.
It was once a month,
then
quarterly.
It was technically quarterly.
Okay.
When I first started.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then we had a special meeting.
Yeah, my memory shot.
Okay, and then it went to monthly, and now it's.
It wasn't really monthly, it was special meetings.
Right. Okay.
So what
we want to do is make it official that once a month it's a regular meeting.
Okay.
That needs to be canceled if we don't have it.
Exactly. Much easier to do that than the other way.
Well, it's easier for us, but less easy for the staff.
For the city,
It is?
What's that?
It's less easy to cancel a meeting than it is to add one?
Yeah, because there's other additional stuff that we have to do when we cancel. So we have to post it. We have to make sure that the public gets it. We post the sign out front. What else?
You have to check with everybody to see if they're coming or not.
Yeah, we have to communicate that we're not.
So canceling is more difficult than...
Well, then it's not canceled. It's whole meetings.
Yeah,
I think we need the meeting. So
there's plenty to do.
If you know you're going to have the meeting, it's more work to
the last item
do a
on
special
here.
Meeting than to have it as a regular.
The last item on here on the agenda is the reason why we need to have a monthly meeting, because that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
If we decide in the future to change our mind because we're not doing anything, then we can do that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to make a motion, or how does that work?
Yeah.
Well, is there any comments?
No comments.
Changes? No. Okay.
I move that we accept the resolution as printed here.
Okay.
I second.
Second, and this is the resolution of the Charter Review Commission of the City of Chula Vista, changing the schedule of regular meetings.
Yes.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
No one's opposed, so there we go.
You have to sign it.
We have to sign, and
it's you have to sign.
Yeah, we need the number.
The chair has to sign.
I like him being chair.
403? Yeah.
403.
Oh, is that the official one you have to sign?
It's the official one.
You need, should I fill this in?
Yeah.
Oh, you should use a fountain pen.
You bring one.
We should have like four pens that we can have each
inkwell with a feather.
Yeah. like a Harry Potter pen, right? Yeah. There you go.
Okay, moving right along.
Oh,
4.3. We did 4.3.
Yeah. 4.4.
Mm-hmm. 4.4. I'm flying through this, assuming there's no comments from the public on any of these, right?
No comments.
Chair, was this emailed to us, these links? Because I won't be able to click on this.
No, and I need to do,
I can email it to everyone.
The yeah. links? So do you have the link? Did you try the link and click on any of them?
Yes.
Yes?
Mm-hmm. When you send it to me, yes.
So you tried and saw these work?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if they all work for you, if you know how to email it to all of us, and can you post it on the minutes of this meeting with active links?
So if you go to our webpage, it'll open up as a Word document.
Okay, with the links active?
Yes.
Okay.
But I can send it to you guys also.
Yeah, that'd be great if you could send it to us.
Because I just want to make sure the public has the same access that we
yes.
have.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I want to read all these.
I tried to fix it, and then I don't know. It's been so much. Since I retired, my Word Perfect.
Doors?
I was like, they still have Word Perfect?
They do, actually. Microsoft Word skills have gone downhill.
I use Word Imperfect. Okay.
Some of these, though, are pretty easy to find if you typed it in. But the two with the asterisk are probably the most important because those relate directly to the city of San Diego, and they've done a lot of work investigating ranked choice voting. Mm. And so I think at one of the city council meetings, Glenn made a comment that the state seems to be very interested in going with ranked choice voting. City of San Diego is interested. What's going to happen? Now, there's many different kinds of ranked choice voting. And I reading about what happened in Alaska, I thought there's even more than I realized.
Wow.
because in Alaska, it wasn't just one election by ranked choice voting, which is what happens in some places. Mm-hmm. You have five candidates, and you come out with a winner.
Right.
Mm-hmm. No, they came out with down to three, which then goes to the fall. Mm. And then out of those three, they'll come out with a winner.
So it's like two rounds worth of...
And then there's all kinds of other things you can do to tweak it, make it better, make it worse. What?
So starting the discussion on that, one of the purposes of doing ranked choice voting is to, especially something that Todd would emphasize, is to save money.
Yeah.
So doing it like Alaska did it, the only positive there was getting rid of Sarah Palin.
Well, some people would see it that way. The other positives, though, are that you...
That's recorded, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's going to be the minutes.
No, but the number one philosophical issue, I think, is that somehow ranked choice voting eliminates the extremes. So you have the extremes, which are, you know, people vote for those candidates with good reason. But if they don't get to impact on who the winner is, you wind up with people winning elections with 30% of the vote sometimes. Mm-hmm. So if you start eliminating the extremes, you get it more and more concentrated until somebody gets 50%, or whatever percent you chose, actually. You could choose
The least objectionable person gets elected.
Well, theoretically.
Yeah.
Now, it's interesting. You can, of all the voting systems out there, there's approval voting, which we talked about, ranked choice voting. Mm-hmm. There's what we do now. All these voting systems, if you read through all this literature, you'll see they'll come up with like five scenarios, and depending on which voting system you use, a different person wins. Whoa. So the only system that is 100% foolproof is a dictatorship. Because you have no choice.
Yeah.
Every other system is prone to different kinds of biases and things that can be manipulated. And as a voter, you know, you're constantly trying to think ahead. Well, if I vote for Schofield, it's kind of a wasted vote. But if I vote for Jan, it's sort of extreme. So really, I really want to choose between Edgar and Dee, and who do I really want to win here? So let's, you know, and voters go through that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
sure.
Go through that process. Yeah.
Are you supposed to choose four? But you decide I'm only going to choose one, because that'll put a bit greater impact on my vote. Because the other people don't get anything. But some voting systems don't allow you. You got to, if there's 10 candidates, you got to select and rank all 10. And if you don't, your vote's invalid. Well,
and that raises an interesting issue, too. One of the things we should be considering is ease of voting.
Exactly.
If it's requiring you to rank all 10, then that might be an issue there. People might not understand it.
It's definitely an issue, and a lot of people won't understand it.
Especially if you don't have the civic education to, like, you know, go through that.
Even no matter how good the education is.
No, I'm talking about, like, civic, like, you know.
No, I know what you mean.
System. Yeah,
training them, in a sense.
Yeah, training them.
How to vote.
Yeah, how to vote, yeah.
So all of these things have issues. But Glenn's comment at city council was, you know, we probably want to go with something like the state goes. Because if ours is completely different from every other city and state thing in the state, it's going to cost, as Jan said, more money.
Yes.
So yeah. If we do a structure similar or the same as city of San Diego, county of San Diego, state of California, then that makes more sense, I think. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean we don't do anything.
Right.
What it means is if we have a preference, we need to get our voice heard quickly.
And get it out there because
early
people might say, well, let's do what Chula Vista's done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. My take on when I compare different processes and the variables that go into it is do a process map, right? So if I want to compare three different voting methodologies, I map out each one of the major steps, and I also quantify fiscal impact if my metric is finance, schedule impact if I have a deadline. But I think visually, or you know, an educational tool probably exists somewhere for the people that have done this. Mm-hmm. What are the steps of this method, this method, this method? Who could we observe, across this, you know, method A, what we do right now, you can observe it everywhere. Mm-hmm. Method B, that may be 10 places. Method C, maybe 5. It would be good for us to be able to look at some real examples of the process, for us to understand the process, because I have to confess, I don't have a holistic understanding of the process and how it goes from you start out with 10, you whittle it down to 3, and then you go, that would be a good visual for us to be looking at for our future dialogue. And to leverage what other people do, that's the first thing I do. I just blatantly borrow your effort and use it for mine. And I agree 100% with Glenn. If 80% of the entities are going to follow the state that are changing their voting, we definitely want to weight that. I don't want this special, unique process to reside in Chula Vista because we can leverage all of the learning materials and all of the things that could save us money if 80% are doing it versus 20%. It would just save us money. But I would like to start out with a complete understanding of what are the three main types of, four maybe, I don't know. I think
that this material in this would take you a long way through all that. there's a couple others probably that are, I should reread or look at these and make recommendations for a couple others besides those first two.
Now,
the thing I forget, and you know, it's like it became clear, when we have an election, we don't have an election. We're just used to them all being lumped together. In some places, they aren't. We have a city, county, state, and federal elections. We have four elections happening at the same time. So we feel like there's one election. But each of those entities might have different rules.
Right. We batch the event, but it has different processes depending on the entity.
The biggest one is the county versus the city, because if you win in the primary with 50% for the county, I don't know if they've changed it, you're done. Mm-hmm. There's no election in the fall.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, go ahead. No, complete your thought.
No, go ahead.
The statement that, you know, the state is going to do weighted, averaged, which one were?
I don't know, but it's ranked choice voting of some color.
Yeah, so if the state would like to champion that, is there an opportunity? Because I'm concerned about the money. I always have been. It's like I don't really see a big improvement, but it's probably due to ignorance. There probably is a better way out there, but at what cost? And if the state is championing a particular process, and would they give us grant money at the city level to do something? Has anyone talked about that in any of your material or any of you guys?
Somewhat, but they talked about it somewhat, the fact that it exists, that if you're changing from one voting system to a different one, there are costs involved. But but from what I read from here, from what I understand, registrar voters can do it. And it's not a major thing if everybody's on the same page. Okay. The costs get out of control when one place is different than another because it's one ballot.
Right.
I think it's important for us to get our two cents as a city of Chula Vista in early in the process. So if the state's holding hearings on this, it would be great. We could be there.
They get further down the track, it's going to be hard for us to go, hey, go back to point B.
Yeah, but if we're there at the very beginning, we can go and sit in Sacramento and testify. We're from the city of Chula Vista, we believe, blah, blah, blah.
Agree.
Most important point was something you just said, though. What? Our elections are run on a countywide basis, so we really need to be in the lead with the county. Because different counties in the state can hold their elections however they want. And so focusing on something statewide, okay, that may make it easier for us to do an analysis, but really the cost issue is going to be focused at the county level.
That's a good point.
And if we have something consistent with the county, that really should be, if we borrow from the state, fine, but we really should, you know, try, if we find a good idea that we really like, which might be different from what the state's pushing, we want to get it on the county level.
Right, because even if all the other counties do something, if San Diego County goes one way, we
There's a hierarchy.
Unless what they're doing seems totally unreasonable.
Right,
exactly. Then that could be the same for the state. I mean, the state, in fact, what's more political, county government or state government? Probably state government.
Yeah.
So.
And at least for me, I'm looking at the least common denominator, like, whatever the state proposes, I just hope they have the materials to help people navigate that, because we saw what happened in the 2000 election in Florida with the butterfly ballot. People didn't know how to fill it out. And things
flawed to start with.
Yeah, it was flawed to start with. So, like, you know, just imagine the person that's not really civically educated or engaged trying to, like, oh, okay, what am I do with this process? So, yeah, so I agree we should be early in on the debate once the state starts those discussions. And, of course, get buy-in from the county, registrar voters to implement it.
It would be great if we could have somebody from the county registrar of voters to come to one of our meetings.
Yes.
I don't see any other way to do it, because of the Brown Act, but that would be...
That's a good idea.
Maybe the county would be open to that, and I don't know...
It just basically asks the county registrar of voters who would be the best person to come and talk to us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
Go through the city attorney's
office.
No, there is a momentum aspect of county, state, doing some things, if we could align with that, it gives us some momentum. You know, my fear is everything that I have anecdotally touched on is you get different results than what the voter is used to seeing now. And in today's environment, I'm really, really concerned about the constant integrity scrutiny that's going on with a distrustful, I'll say, public. And that's why when I originally looked at it, it's like, you know, now is not a good time to rock the boat. But there is some momentum going.
Yeah.
And if we could somehow catch the wave of state to county and they are aligned with our input and nuance, if any, it'd be great if there was a fell swoop, so to speak. Okay, yeah. Everyone's doing it this way now. It is effective. And yeah, it gives you different results because it's a different process meant to give you a different result to, you know, to capture the guiding principle of why you would do change. In other words, I learned, don't do change just for change's sake. Change to capture the improvement. And the extremes that you mentioned before, that would be one way. You know, a more effective voting process where the right candidate that the public wants is the one that floats to the top. That's the desired
state. The idea is that the majority would choose
absolutely
the winner.
Yeah.
That would be a good change.
I think what the if you have a ranked choice voting system or some type of voting system like that, it's actually going to put more pressure on the registrar of voters to make sure everything is appropriate because they really do have to focus and drill down when they're doing the vote. So there's going to be less ability for somebody to claim fraud because they're going to be working harder than ever to make sure that it's done correctly.
Yeah. It should be.
But there's always a claim.
A claim is a claim.
Yeah. But no that's meaningful in today's environment. To me, there's a lot of disruption going on because there's a little chink somewhere and people exploit
that. Well, one of the things is you often don't get the results as quickly. I mean, right now you get the results almost immediately.
Yes.
But with ranked choice voting, it's got to crunch through this and then this and then this.
Right.
And so, you know, it could be a while.
And but my personal belief,
one election instead of a primary. In
right,
general.
And that would be good. But my personal belief, the delayed results, that's a con right now. You know, I mean, that is a negative right now, given our current environment.
It gives people time to manipulate, if possible.
Right. Yeah. It's so easy to point out, well, it's rigged because it's taking too long. Okay.
So we're here just to brainstorm.
Yeah, I'll definitely read the materials that you put together. Thank you for that.
I mean, you're not going to read everything. Some of those, if there's no link, those are books.
Okay, I'll read the hyperlinks then. Obviously, yeah, and then.
I'll look and see.
We had talked about this being a significant endeavor. And we constantly come into things that need to be done earlier than they really should be done, so it kind of degrades the quality of what we want to do. Is there some impetus on getting it done quickly, or can we take our time and really get into the weeds of what these processes are, what the nuance or, you know, delta is between our existing process and a proposed process? Or do we need to capture that wave of momentum? I mean, who would know that?
This is the question is who knows what's happening? And this is where we don't have the information.
Yeah.
You know, whenever I try to make a decision, I think, do I have enough information?
Yep.
And if I don't, where do I get it? And I think what we need to know is, and I'm not sure who finds that out. Maybe I contact people if that is acceptable.
The registrar of voters should probably know who's...
Yeah, who's
making noise about
doing when are the, who's talking about this? Who's got laws?
Was it the Secretary of State's office in the state of California? Are they the ones who
they certify statewide elections?
No, but as far as the getting the word about when the state's going to start these discussions or whatever.
Maybe they already have. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that's a good action. That next step of where are you guys?
And maybe the people that have made the proposal for the city of San Diego know that, and maybe
You would guess so. I would guess so.
And it's one of those things where I think that if we do this in the right way and we feel comfortable, for example, if we feel comfortable with what the city of San Diego is proposing versus all the other things that we're going to be reading about, just jump on that bandwagon.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, the risk with that is that, you know, for too long, San Diego sort of run roughshod.
Don't even go.
Over different over different issues. Sometimes it's great and very helpful. Other times, you know.
Definitely not the stadium.
People aren't so happy. Yeah. That's
know.
True, whatever you do.
Yeah, I think if we see things that are warning flags, we kind of tap the brakes.
If we see the word Spanos in it.
You know, in Northern...
Restraint is a good characteristic.
If you look at a... What?
Restraint is a good characteristic.
If you look at some of these things for maybe the next meeting, we could talk a little more.
Yeah.
I think do the homework.
Do the homework.
Next meeting would be November after the election. So
Doris, if you could email those to us, that'd be great.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the next meeting is going to be the day after the election.
Yes.
Well...
It'll be too late.
I might have to miss that. I'll be in trial.
November 9th, yeah, the day after the election. So we'll have...
Well, it's not like we're going to have this implemented at the election.
No, it's just more discussion. So that'll be on the agenda. We'll probably want to discuss the election results for Magic K. I don't know if there'd be other things that would need to go on the election, on the... maybe we should discuss a meeting at the city council to introduce ourselves to the new council.
Yeah, that would probably be after the new council.
There'll be at least one person that's the same, and all the rest could be different.
Mm-hmm.
So the
also, aren't we getting a new mayor too?
Yeah.
But John McCann's been on the council for a long time, so he's familiar with all this.
All of us already, yeah.
But it will be a new person in that position.
And I'm voting for Simone.
Well, it's not really in our purview, but according to the charter, or according to the city clerk, the election is between Simone and Dan...
Smith.
And voting for Simone, and if he wins, there'll be another special election. Which, if the charter wins, can be done totally by mail, which would make it cheaper than if we had to do it the old way.
Yeah.
And if Steve should win, I would assume that might get all thrown together. Mm-hmm. But who knows? It'll be a different city council. So anyway, I think that's everything. Staff comments? Doris? You're the only staff here.
No comments. I will get out. The only comment is I will send you guys out the links. As of 4:00 today, our Outlook wasn't working, but when I go back to my desk, sometimes it's a little finicky or, you know, sometimes it just magically comes back on. So.
Hopefully it's not a budget issue.
We have the utmost confidence in your diligence, Doris. That's the last thing I worry about.
Chair's comments? I don't have any comments. Commissioner comments?
Just appreciative of Ann showing up and,
you
know, staying late and doing that. My constant perception is we have a wonderful support staff available to us, and it's just, it's nice.
Yeah. And while the staff isn't there to support us, the staff does do a lot of help for us.
I do want to, sorry to interject again. Todd mentioned in an email that he sent out to us that he wanted to see if we could hold the meetings where you can attend, not necessarily...
Virtually?
Virtually, there you go, that's the word. Virtually. I can bring it up to Glenn and Megan, but to my knowledge, once the emergency orders were expired, we no longer have that option.
Yeah, it's my understanding is the same. Yeah. And it's a state
directive. So we're not able to do that anymore, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And that's probably some Brown Act thing going on.
Right.
But one thing that did occur to me is it might be interesting if we could live stream, it doesn't have to be this commission meeting, but you could have different commission meetings. Maybe you could once a month or once a week live stream one of the commission meetings on the internet, and anybody could a podcast, not video, because video is harder than sound.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Just a podcast, and maybe that would get more contact with the voters, with the residents of the city.
I think that's true.
Also, because we hold it in here, we're not equipped to do that. I know in chambers they do. As you guys saw one time, Steve was virtually in the room, but in this room, it's not capable.
Yeah, I don't know the logistics of it, and I don't know whether that is enough demand on staff that it requires more a new position, or I don't know. You know, but it's just an idea.
Yes.
Well, I guess I had one comment, Chair. Just to amplify what Ann put out from the city, you know, on your social media accounts, you know, just to get, you know, I guess some interest, get that buzz going, because I think she just posted it. That's what I was asking. It's like, what's the analytics? How many people have actually clicked on it, you know?
And hit share, and then, yeah.
I know people are probably more concerned about the Padres game, you know, the Dodgers, but, you know, Measure K is still important to us because of the work we do.
Yeah. Okay. Any other comments? It is, what time is it?
It is 6:59.
6:59 p.m. and I'm adjourning this meeting to the next regular meeting of the Charter Review Commission on November 9th, 2022 at 6 p.m. Right. Under an hour.
Here, here.
Okay. Still not quick enough to get to my 7 o'clock.
No, I'm not sure.
No.